Well, hello, I'm Eric Etheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Welcome back to Prairie Beat,
our weekly news podcast from us here at Prairie Public. Well, Danielle, every week we sit down and chat about some news headlines. This week we are going to break down the main news of the day, the stories that are contributing to a lot of us dragging our feet a little bit this morning after being up so late last night. I'm not sure how many times that it's happened that severe weather has swept the entire state at the same time as it did on election day, but that is exactly what happened in North Dakota last night.
Yes, and you know, we in the newsroom absolutely are always keeping tabs on politics in the state. This being a midterm election year is certainly no exception, so we've been monitoring those races for months now, but I'm not sure if you could call it serendipity or bad luck or whatever that we also happen to have bad weather at the same time, but those stars certainly did align last night. Dave, Todd, and myself were live blogging as the election results came in, and I was doing so from my kitchen. Because of the weather, I also had some storm chasers and weather forecasters up on my TV in my living room, so just so I could keep an eye on it while all those votes were being tallied. It was an active night on all fronts.
Oh, yeah. I definitely woke up when the storms arrived in my backyard. I mean, I swear it lasted about 10 minutes, but it woke me up enough to be able to look at some of the results, some of your live blogging, and check it out as they came in.
Yeah, I slept through the storm myself, and honestly, I think I needed the few extra minutes. I'm tired.
Yeah, I can tell. At least you're over your cold, so
Thank you.
No frog sound effects this time, Danielle. Sorry. Well, let's get into it then. We've been talking all day about the different races and contests statewide and local. I had the chance, if you were listening on the Main Street broadcast earlier, to talk with Fargo's new mayor-elect Josh Beauchesne, which has had a lot of attention not just locally but statewide. Even cross-border states, too. Voters in North Dakota approved Measure 1, which that requires any constitutional amendment measures to be limited to just one subject. That was very interesting. And also in Fargo, the infrastructure sales tax was extended. But Danielle, as I understand, you want to talk a little bit today about something really unique, a husband and wife running for the legislature together in the same district, District 15. Well, I hope that would be the same district, right?
Yes, yes. So, okay, full disclosure, I grew up in Devil's Lake, and that is where District 15 is located. And I do know Corey and Kristen Kenner from just growing up in town there. It's a small town. I went to school with their kids. And I was joking with them this morning, you know, just from knowing their son, Philip, especially. I've always known that they're a very politically interested and invested family. So when I saw that they were running for the legislature this year, it wasn't really surprising to me. It seems like a natural fit for them, really. But I asked them both, why are they doing that now?
We had always been interested in politics, but you know, both of our jobs were really not conducive to being able to do something like this. You know, Kristen ran her own dental practice, and I was vice president at the college.
I just felt that I wasn't having a purpose-driven life anymore. I mean, I was used to being with people all the time. I was used to solving problems. That was my life, and I always worked really hard, and suddenly I wasn't working hard on the things that I really felt that mattered. And I didn't want to clean out any more drawers or closets. I just need to give back and be a public servant again.
The Kenners are running as Republicans in District 15. Both Kristen and Judy Estenson ran against incumbent Kent Weston for his Senate seat. And Corey ran as one of three Republicans for the district's two House of Representatives seats. Corey and incumbent Kathy Freilich were the top two vote getters ahead of Donna Henderson in the House primary. So they will meet Democratic opponents in that race in November. And Kristen emerged as the victor in that Senate race, edging out Kent Weston by a very thin margin of only 41 votes.
It was really, really close. And I certainly hope I'm going to be able to represent the people that voted for him. And I want to have dinner with him and his wife and get to know how he thinks and what's important to him and how he was representing the people for those people that didn't vote for me.
Yeah, it's incredible how these races can come down to just a handful of votes.
Yeah, lots of races across the state were very close indeed. And there are no current Democratic MPL candidates for Senate in District 15, so Kristen will be running now unopposed.
All right, so the wife of the husband and wife team is a definite shoo-in, and the husband didn't have too bad of a chance either. Yeah. So, yeah, obviously many people choose partners in life, and there are things we like doing with our spouses. Running for office together is not something you hear many married couples doing or even talking about doing. We've already established the Kenners to be a very politically interested and motivated family. Now, Danielle, how did they decide who would run for which chamber?
Yeah, I asked them about that, and they both said they took the personality traits that they each have and applied them to each chamber, and then they flipped them.
Traditionally, the Senate is considered a little more sedate, maybe. and a little slower moving. My wife, you know my wife, I think.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, she's far from sedate. Okay, so she's, you know, pretty animated and talkative.
And I always think about Kent Conrad talking about when I was there in Washington, D.C., talking to him. And he said, well, Kristen, you know, the Senate and the House are two different things, you know. It's like a teacup. And he said, the cup is the House. It's hot. It's taking the heat. It's volatile. And then he goes, that the saucer of it is the Senate. They've let the heat dissipate out and you stop and you figure things out. And he goes, you need both in our country. And I always remember him saying that. And I thought, I think I need to be the saucer.
I also asked them, as a husband and wife team, I mean, I think of things, for instance, like my husband and I like to do together, and also things we definitely prefer to do apart. Are there advantages or disadvantages to this sort of endeavor, both campaigning and legislating together?
I tell you, it was a real advantage, you know, because we just traveled together. You know, when we placed yard signs or when we knocked on doors or hung door signs and whatever up, we traveled all over the district together. And so it wasn't lonely. Let's put it that way. It was good.
Well, I think probably one disadvantage might be if we don't agree on a bill. But, I mean, that's just life being married. I mean, you always have things that you don't agree on 100% of the time. And it probably, he might be standing one way and I'm thinking the other way. I think that would be the greatest one, that you might be ticked off for a little while. But I think you'll just get through it.
They both told me that while they were traveling through the district, they were surprised to find many constituents who either they said they didn't know who their representatives were in the legislature, or they felt like they were just underrepresented, people that said who they had reached out to their representation but felt ignored. And I also asked them about what these voters were looking for in their representation. What were the issues that were most important to them?
Well, a lot of people were really, really concerned about infrastructure. Roads, and we found that out too as we drove around the district. Oh my gosh, some of the roads were really, really tough. Water issues are always a big issue. I mean, they've been a big issue forever. And tourism, one of the things about tourism, they didn't seem to, the people that talked to us that are involved in that industry, they said they just couldn't get responses from legislators up north, especially.
The top issue that I heard was property taxes. Everyone is up in arms of property taxes. And why are they having to pay so many, such high property taxes? And there's got to be a way to get it down. And they were grateful, you know, for getting their $1,600 back this year. But, I mean, they want more.
Kristen said she also heard on the campaign trail about the shortage of mental health providers and counselors in the state, and how licensing requirements not allowing reciprocity is limiting residents being able to get those services that they need for mental health and addiction counseling. So she said she was very interested in learning more about that and finding out what there can be done to address that.
And the Kenners are both Republicans, right?
Yeah, yes,
so
yeah.
It's not like James Carville and Marley Matlin, where they sit at the dinner table in the big. Well, they always said they didn't sit at the table and talk about politics, but it's very interesting. This is one of those examples of, if you're going to talk about politics, then maybe put your money where your mouth is and do something about it.
So
that's
so
cool. Yeah. Well, hopefully the Kenners and all the other politicians running in the races have a day or two to relax a bit before hitting the ground running again for those November general elections. Those will be here before we know it, and we will once again be ready to watch those races and bring those results when the time comes. Aside from weather and politics, Danielle, were there any other stories of note this week?
It was funny because they came into town, and next thing you know, my phone's ringing at my desk, and they said, they're in town to make two movies, and they need people, and you're it.
Well, there was one. If you have a chance, find Todd McDonald's report he did this week about May Pang. She had a two-day exhibit this week in Fargo called The Lost Weekend, about a look into an 18-month period in the life of John Lennon. May Pang was a personal assistant to John Lennon and Yoko Ono, among other things.
Yeah, you'll definitely want to check out that incredible story. Todd got the long end of the straw and got to do it, not me. But it's really, really cool. Big slice of Beatles history there for you. So thanks for all that and all the live blogging, Danielle.
You bet. Be sure to tune in to Prairie Public for more news, or check us out online at news.prairiepublic.org.
All right, that'll do it for us this week on Prairie Beat. I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.
We'll be right back.